It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. We're going to be hanging out for the next 3 hours. Shout out to all my people out there on the road, my truck drivers, my car drivers. If you're driving a vehicle, what's up? Hanging out with you. If you're at work, what's up? I'm here. If you're at home, good for you. If you are holding it down, I'm here with you. Not really, but I'm here with you. We're here together, kind of. I'll be rolling for the next 3 hours. Thank you to everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM channel 158, and a smart speaker. Just ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, we rolling. We've been rolling. I get started 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm being joined by a super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. We've had a busy show. We talked about Aaron Judge hit another home run. Hickey, this guy goes to sleep. He's hitting home runs in his sleep. He don't got a care in the world. Home run, home run, home run. He's just hitting home runs in his sleep.
He's automatic.
He's automatic. We talked about Aaron Judge, Kirk Ferentz of Iowa. This guy suspended for a game when he tried to recruit Cade McNamara. He did it too early. So now he's suspended for one measly game against Illinois State. Consider it a vacation. And speaking of college football, this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be joined by Brian Fisher from Fox Sports. He's going to come through in about 20 minutes to talk to us. This is week 0 of the college football season. On Saturday, we got some matchups that I do not give a damn about. But then to go ahead and kick things off, we got the Seminoles and we got the Yellow Jackets. They're in Dublin, Ireland. It sucks for the students. It really does. They got to go play football. They cannot have a drink. Hickey, can they have a drink? If you're old enough, can you? Probably not advisable, right?
I mean, after the game.
No, come on, man.
What do you mean, come on? You can't do it before the game. I saw the floor. I think Georgia Tech. I'm assuming they did the similar thing, but I saw Florida State at least. They traveled today, so they're in Dublin now.
Oh, that sucks for them.
I mean, so you night. Get there.
They sleep. They ain't doing nothing. They're going to sleep.
It's a longish 6 hours, but the time change is like, you know, another 5 hours. So no, it's like you're all wonked out.
No, if you do it the right way, you just. You got to stay awake for half. You got to make the adjustment when you're on a plane. You got to say, okay, what time is it? I can watch a movie. And then after a movie, you got to time it so you can kind of sort of go to sleep on the local time. And then you get up and then your body clock is boom. There it is. Easy.
I mean, I think I'll speak for most people when I say this.
Yeah.
I don't think people can sleep on a plane as easily as you and not tell your body, hey, I'm going to go to sleep now. I know it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon local time, but actually it's 10 o'clock in Dublin. So you know what? It's 10 o'clock now in my body and we're going to sleep. I don't think it's that. I've done that or tried to do it. Does not work.
Hickey, I've reached a point in my life where if I need to sleep, I'm going to bed, bro. It doesn't matter where I'm at or what I will go to sleep. It's just what it is. My body clock is just, it's whatever. It don't matter what it is.
You're a lucky man.
I guess. No, for the past.
In some instances.
For the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I've done a morning show, radio morning show. I've had to get up at, what time did I get up? See, I got up every day at 4:30 a.m. for the show to start at 6 a.m. I lived around the corner, so I didn't have to travel far. I got up at 4:30 in the morning every day. And then I did here on the network. I was on air from 10 p.m. Eastern to 2 a.m. Like, that's the complete opposite, bruh. You know, my body doesn't care. It's like, hey, is it time to sleep? Yeah. And time to get up? Good. And I got things to do, man. I ain't laying around. So when I get a chance to sleep, I'm sleeping. Shout outs to the students in Dublin but when they're done with the game, Hickey, they're going to put their asses right on the plane and bring them back.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
That sucks.
But like the winning team, let's just say it's Florida State. Like, I don't know how you do this.
They're gonna take them around Dublin for, I don't know. It's already gonna be the evening time by the time they wrap up, man.
DJ Uiagalelei is basically 30 years old. Let the man go out to a quick pub. I'm sure, again, on the bus ride from the stadium to the airport, just get in a quick pub, go down to, what do they call that? What's the bar section down there in Dublin?
I've never been to Dublin. I don't know.
It's not Trinity Bar, but it's somewhere in that area. Anyway, get a quick pint of Guinness and head home. That's it. The Guinness is fresh there. You gotta have some taste of the culture.
Oh, man. Why do I feel he's been around for so long? You know what? It's not he's been around. There was so much hype surrounding DJ Uiagalelei before he even got into college. This is the next big thing. This is the next guy you need to look out for. And then he's at Clemson, and then he goes to Oregon State last year, and now he's with the Seminoles. And when you're around this long and you hear about someone, you're just like, you're still doing this, man? Like, I've been hearing about you for the past 5 and 6 years, and this is where you're at right now? It's tough being a quarterback and just to bounce around, go from the ACC, and then you go out to Oregon State, and now you come back east and play for the Seminoles. Not too bad. Good luck to DJ Uiagalelei. I love the Seminoles. I do. My folks are down in Tallahassee. I love it out there. They treat me good. I know the staff and all other good people. So outside of the Bulldogs, I'm not mad at looking at the Seminoles have some success. So good luck. And you know what? We'll talk to Brian Fisher about all things college football. He'll be here with us in about 15 minutes. But before we do that, right before we went to break, we talked about A.J. Terrell and his brand new contract. 4 years, $81 million for the Atlanta Falcons. We know the Falcons have been doing a lot of damage, positive damage here in the offseason. They bring in Kirk Cousins. They continue to bring in Matthew Judon. They bring in Justin Simmons. They reward one of their own and a local, someone local. By the way, he also went to Clemson, and A.J. Terrell. This is great. Here in Atlanta, you know, we don't know what the hell is going on with the quarterback. Michael Penix Jr. is going to have to sit down until Kirk Cousins sucks or he gets hurt, because you have to play Kirk Cousins. You're paying a man $45 million a year. You have to pay him. But if I take a trip, I don't know, on a plane, in 2 hours, okay? And I go to Pittsburgh, which I also love, by the way. If I go up to Pittsburgh, they do have a problem with their quarterback, okay? Because you got Fields, and then you got Wilson, who last night I told you on my top six list, this man has the most to prove in the NFL just because of his legacy. Well, the drama continues on. It was just yesterday that Russell Wilson, who's just getting sacked 3 times and still has a habit of holding on to the ball. This man told you, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna play in the last game and we all have to improve. And Mike Tomlin's like, yeah, everybody sucks. We all got to improve. And so what the hell happened today? Hilarious. Justin Fields kind of thinks that he should be QB1. Justin Fields said, I think everybody has seen what the hell I can do. Listen to this.
I think I've shown, you know, what I can do. I think, you know, the time that I did have with the ones practicing in training camp, I think that went well. I think we grew a lot each and every day. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's not up to me. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to come in here every day, each and every day, the same person, being a leader for this team and work my butt off, and everything else will be handled.
Okay, all right. A little lobbying for himself, right? If you don't lobby for yourself, if you don't stand up for you, who the hell else is going to do so? Nobody, right? Well, what does this mean for the coach? Like, well, what does Mike Tomlin think about this? Mike Tomlin, in talking to the media, he was asked, well, who's going to be QB1? Is it now Justin Fields or is it Russell Wilson? Listen to what Mike Tomlin had to say.
Mike, will Russ start? And is there any more clarity going forward about whether he's in the pole position or the starting
quarterback? Nothing's changed in terms of the position of those guys. And yes, he will start.
Oh, well, damn. Hickey, he has never wasted a word Anytime he has ever spoke, opened up his mouth, or he has never, he gets straight to it. Never, he's not wasting his vocabulary.
No, he's not. He's straight to the point. You have some coaches that, you know, Mike McDaniel, for example, right, that will give you that question specifically. He would give you a 3-minute answer. Same conclusion, same answer. Yeah, no real change. Same thing going forward here. But it would be 2.5 minutes of where the hell are we going? What's this guy talking about before you get to the back to the final answer? Mike Tomlin, all business.
All business. I appreciate it. Gets right to the point. Well, with this, I don't want to call it a quarterback conundrum. Been saying for weeks, you got two quarterbacks, you got none. And everybody with the Steelers knows it. They just have to figure out, like, who is going to be the guy? This is real life Hunger Games. This is the real quarterback competition in the NFL right now, if there ever is one. But there is a man, a former general manager, Mike Tannenbaum, used to manage the Jets and was also helping out with the Dolphins. He was chatting it up on Get Up on ESPN, and he had a better idea. He said the Steelers should move Russell Wilson. Listen to this.
So, RC, unfortunately for Minnesota, you know, history is repeating itself. We go back to 2016, very unfortunate injury. Teddy Bridgewater had a catastrophic injury at practice. Sam Bradford gets traded from the Eagles to the Vikings. So, to me, I think a win-win here is to trade Russell Wilson to Minnesota. I think he's a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. They certainly can battle it out. And then Ryan Tannehill's still a free agent, guys. And you go back to the 2 years that Ryan Tannehill was with Arthur Smith at Tennessee. They had an unbelievable 2-year run. 18-8, they averaged 30 points per game. Let him come in and at least initially back up Justin Fields.
I don't know about that one. Would that make a little bit of sense for the Steelers if Russell Wilson is cooked, if he's washed, if he's ass? The answer is yes, it is. But they have to figure that out first, okay? And then the other element of it is, if I'm the Minnesota Vikings, do I want Russell Wilson? Do I want to give up draft capital to bring him in? They brought in J.J. McCarthy. They want to develop J.J. McCarthy. You're going to bring in Russell Wilson and I guess hope that he can just air the ball out to Justin Jefferson every game? Like, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to go out there and trust that. I'm not giving up draft capital. After I just invested into a QB, just to see whether or not a washed up quarterback still has it to just throw the ball around to Jefferson and Addison. And that's if Addison is even suspended because of his issues when it comes down to drinking and driving. I wouldn't do it. I would just roll with Sam Darnold. He doesn't cost anything. You don't have to trade. And this sounds absolutely nuts. But if you erase the resumes, could Sam Darnold, on the high end, and I know I'm giving Sam Darnold probably the most praise I've ever given a guy, I think he could give you similar to whatever the hell you're going to get out of Russell Wilson, as long as Sam Darnold isn't turning the ball over like a jackass, and he still might at a high level. At least you know Sam Darnold is going to throw the ball. What the hell is the difference between that and Russell Wilson? And by the way, Sam Darnold isn't going to try to scramble all over the place like he's Usain Bolt. Sam Darnold is going to throw the ball. And he's going to run and get hit, but not like Russell Wilson. Mike Tannenbaum, I'm sorry. Let Ryan Tannehill sign with the first team that has an injured quarterback. Let him do that. Let Russell Wilson play out with the Steelers. Leave it alone. And this would be a real ass move by the Steelers. They would look like asses to just move Russell Wilson to Minnesota. Come on. Like a mistake right out of the gate, even though they're paying him nothing. What, $2 million a year? And what do you get in return? Hickey, what would you trade Russell Wilson for right now if you had to trade him? A fifth round pick, a sixth rounder for $2 million? Come on.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the Broncos just cut him. I know the contract, you know, had a lot to do with that, but if the Steelers were to trade him, I mean, you're talking about, at best, a day three draft pick?
Oh, my God. They're not worth it. Just see if he can see. I mean, keep going what you're doing. It's the preseason. And, yeah, I know that he sucks so far. The whole offense sucks. Mike Tannenbaum just being creative. That's what the GMs do. Me, I don't need to be creative. I just need to be realistic and react. Oh, good news for the Yankees. Yankees planning to activate Jazz Chisholm. It is another good Yankee. I guess that's four of them, Hickey. Four. Gerrit Cole, Chisholm, Soto, and Judge. Good for them. Good for the Yankees. Good for all the healthy people. It's the JR Sportbeat Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get more into college football. Week zero is here. We'll talk about the transfer portal, some of the games that we need to see, some of the rankings, some of the players. Brian Fisher is going to join us from Fox Sports. College football, can't wait. Starts on Saturday. You're locked into the JR Sportbeat Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. If we go over an ocean right now, we're actually getting ready for the start of the college football season. We got the Seminoles. We got the Yellow Jackets out there in Dublin. We got more action on Saturday. We got even more action next week. It's college football season. To talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, the positive, the playoffs, and everything in between. Joining us right now is Brian Fisher from Fox Sports. Covers all things college football. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's week zero. College football is back, so I'm in my happy place.
You're in your happy place on Saturday at noon. I'll be in my happy place. As an overall, what are you most looking forward to? What are some of the biggest storylines this upcoming football season?
Well, I think there's two. You know, I think if you kind of pulled back and kind of took a 30,000-foot view, I think there's two that I think everybody is really going to zero in on and really, I think, take the first couple of weeks of the season to kind of get used to. And first and foremost, that's the 12-team college football playoff. I think there's still, even amongst the casual college football fans that maybe just tune in, you know, once in a while, maybe it's a big game on Saturday, I still don't know if they're quite getting across, you know, that there is this massive change coming at the end of the year in terms of the postseason structure and really, truly, how many different teams at the end of the year are going to be involved in that playoff race. So some of the, I think, tweaks and how the college football playoff actually works is going to get explained a lot to even the most veteran of college football fans, and that's something I think is going to play out throughout the year. And then, you know, second is just the realignment. I mean, it's going to be weird seeing Ohio State, you know, play in Eugene at Oregon and have that Big Ten logo on the field. It's going to be weird to see, you know, Texas run out on the field at DKR there with that SEC logo. It's just going to seem strange a little bit with some of these matchups. But, you know, the flip side is we do get some of those big-time, prime-time type of games that are going to be across the country. And it's going to take a little getting used to for sure, but I think everybody's excited about this upcoming college football season because it kind of does mark a break from kind of the past couple of decades versus moving forward what this sport is going to look like.
Well, we know there's going to continue to be movement there. Brian Fisher is joining us from Fox Sports. We know that there's likely going to be an expansion of the playoff as well. Let me ask you this. Now that we have the playoff expanding, what does this mean for the importance or lack thereof when it boils down to conference title games and bowl games? Do they now become a little moot?
Well, I think certainly the non-CFP type of bowl games are even going to be kind of even more of an exhibition game than they already were. And, you know, frankly, from the Group of Five level kind of even up into the Power Five level, I mean, it is essentially, you know, playing freshmen, playing sophomores that maybe didn't get a whole lot. People are entering the transfer portal. It's kind of been a hodgepodge and really kind of, you know, almost like a spring game, if you will, at the end of the season against another team. And I think that's only going to be enhanced by the fact that we're going to have, you know, quarterfinal games. We're going to have games on campus. Like, I think the bowls system itself, outside of the major bowls, are going to take another step back in terms of importance. And, you know, there has been some talk. The commissioners in the Group of Five did meet in terms of maybe there could be an NIT type of version of the college football playoff where you get a bunch of Group of Five teams in some of these bowls so the matchups are a little better. Maybe there's a little bit more on the line. But I think that's still a ways off. And so, you know, the bowl system overall is probably going to take a step back. And, you know, frankly, I think overall in college football, you know, a lot of people are just going to be excited at, you know, kind of how things play out with a lot of these top-tier teams and how they're going to move through this system and look forward as well.
Yeah, Brian Fisher's joining us, football writer for Fox Sports. We know about the usual suspects, even with some of the coaching changes that we've had, the Georgias, the Oregons, the Ohio States of the world. Now that we have an expansion of the playoff, do you think that there is a team that could kind of say, hey, we're in the dance. We're going to just knock you guys off?
Well, I think, you know, a lot. There's a lot of those teams. I mean, you mentioned Oregon. I think that's definitely one of them that's kind of been knocking on the door the last couple of years. Obviously, they've made it to the BCS title game, so they're no stranger to the national stage. But everybody kind of looks at what Dan Lanning has built there in Eugene in terms of having all those pieces and having the depth to compete with those Ohio States and Georgias of the world, and definitely circling that team. But I think off the radar, maybe a team that not everybody truly follows super closely, not the true blue bloods of the sport, I would kind of label Ole Miss in that category. I mean, they're appearing in a lot of top seven, top tens in terms of top 25 rankings early in the season. They got a quarterback coming back in Jackson Dart that's put up some phenomenal numbers. He's looked really good in Lane Kiffin's system. And frankly, they've put their money where their mouth is in terms of stocking up in terms of the talent. I mean, the impact transfers that they've had, I know everybody really kind of zeroes in on defensive lineman Walter Nolan, and he's going to be a guy to watch that they got from Texas A&M. But really across the board, this is a team that, you know, you kind of want to see how it gels, but in terms of having that depth, in terms of having the schedule in the SEC, and importantly, to where you're missing a few of those big names, but you also got enough to where you can lose one or two, but still get enough big wins to get into the playoff. I think Ole Miss is looking at this as a make-or-break type of season, and one of the ones that they think this could be a historic year there in Oxford.
Yeah, Brian, you talk about some of the quarterbacks and the names that are going to be leading these teams. Who do you think is kind of lead dog when it comes down to the Heisman? I mean, we had a shock last year with Jaden Daniels. We saw what that did for him, and now he's in the NFL with Washington, selected number two overall. Who do you think can kind of take that next jump and maybe go home with some hardware?
Well, you know, I think you definitely start with a lot of the quarterbacks. But for my money, in terms of the best overall player in college football, I mean, you probably start with Travis Hunter. And just the ability to impact the game on really over 100 snaps. I think he played over 100 snaps in like six of his eight games last year. I mean, playing both ways at a high level as a true downfield threat at wide receiver, plus being a lockdown corner. I think, you know, his conditioning is going to be even better this year. Hopefully he can stay healthy. But we all know everything going on and surrounding the Coach Prime show, and I think that has kind of taken the spotlight off him just a little bit. But when you talk with NFL scouts, when you talk with folks in terms of just talent evaluation, I mean, this is a kid that could be a top five pick at either corner or wide receiver. So I think there are going to be a lot more people that are going to be excited over him, especially if he can stay healthy. I do think it's just going to be interesting because there is not that like truly top-tier elite quarterback. Maybe Carson Beck is that guy, you know, at Georgia. But, I mean, there's a ton of, you know, you look at the running back position over the years, and certainly there's a two-headed monster there at Ohio State, but both of those guys are going to be splitting carries, so maybe they're not going to get the kind of numbers that you would expect from a top-tier team or a top-tier player on one of those college football playoff contenders. So I think that's the other thing that makes this a really wide-open Heisman race. There's not really kind of that true favorite. There's a stack of guys, and I think it is going to come down to late in the year, who's making that big play to get their team into the playoff or maybe knock another team out of the playoff.
Brian Fisher is joining us from Fox Sports. You talk about Travis Hunter. We've had this conversation this week. Knowing that he's going to be a high pick in next year's draft, what does he say? Like, what does he declare? Is he trying to be the Shohei Ohtani? It's impossible to do both. You have to kind of balance, outweigh it one way more than the other. Is it going to be offense or is it going to be defense? What would you do?
Well, if I were in his shoes, I'd be looking at those contracts that all the wide receivers have been signing in the NFL and all the extensions that the Justin Jeffersons of the world have been signing and comparing that to some of the cornerbacks and saying, you know what, maybe wide receiver might be the way to go at the next level. And you know, he is such a threat, whether it's inside at the slot, at wide receiver, even down in the red zone. I mean, he's a threat to go up and just outleap corners at the college level and I think even at the next level as well. And to me, that probably is where he could probably have the longer career. But, I mean, he does have that elite kind of quick twitch in terms of being a cornerback. And, you know, I think when he gets tired, you know, that is probably when he kind of gets beat at times. And so that's probably something that he has to work on. Obviously, if you could focus on just one side of the ball, I think he could be, you know, one of those elite, throw him out on an island type of corners. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be what Travis wants to do. And I'm sure he's going to talk with teams at the next level, after he comes out this year in terms of saying, hey, I do want to play both ways for you. I do want to return kicks. I want to be that kind of all-around threat. And I'm going to be curious to see, especially those teams, knowing how much they're going to invest in some of those top 10 picks, whether they're going to say, no, you can't do that, or absolutely, we want to almost save a roster spot because of your versatility.
Brian, when it comes down to Colorado, are we looking for a lot of a style and less substance? Are we going to get a lot of noise but no results on the field? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting about Colorado. I do think that talent-wise, they have upgraded from last year. You know, this is not the Buffs team that we saw kind of had that collapse last year. And I think, you know, the depth is improved slightly. I do think they've gotten some impact transfers, you know, especially on the offensive line, that they think that they're really going to help them. I mean, Shedeur Sanders, it seems like every drop back last year, he was getting sacked or at least getting pressured. And I think that will be, you know, slightly improved for the Buffs this year. And to me, you know, the thing is they're going to the Big 12 that, you know, coming out of the Pac-12, a historic year out west, a conference, there really were no breathers for them. The Big 12, I mean, I feel like every game in that league this year is going to be a coin flip. And so that almost kind of plays into Colorado's hands. Yes, they got tough games. They got to play Utah and Kansas State and Oklahoma State at the end of the year. But, you know, some of those other games, you know, they can take advantage, maybe surprise teams. Yes, they're going to get everybody's best shot. But at the end of the day, this is a league where pretty much every game you walk out onto the field, it's a 50-50 shot. And when you got impact players like Travis Hunter, when you got maybe a top 25 type of quarterback going into next year's first round in Shedeur Sanders, you're going to be in those games, and you're going to have the opportunity to make the plays to win the games. And so it wouldn't surprise me at all if we're talking about not only making a bowl game at a minimum for Colorado this year, but maybe, you know, 7-8 wins, which would be a market improvement, not just in terms of what they happened last year, but I think the overall direction of the program really the past decade.
Brian Fishey here with us from Fox Sports. You think about the matchup that's going to get us all set and started this upcoming Saturday. We got Florida State with DJ Uiagalelei now on his third team. We got Haynes King for Tech, which has certainly gotten better over the past year and change. What should we look forward to? I mean, that'll be the game that the country is watching this Saturday. I think both teams, especially Florida State, they have a chance to make a big impact.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the newness at Florida State, I think, is what a lot of people are going to be keeping an eye on, you know, especially DJ Uiagalelei and what he can do at quarterback. But, you know, look, there's a lot of, you know, receivers that are new there at Florida State. The defensive line, I think, is also going to have a big impact on this game and really controlling the tempo. You know, we've seen Georgia Tech. They've been really pretty good against, you know, ranked teams in the past, especially since this new staff has taken over. Curious to kind of see that battle against DJ Uiagalelei. And, you know, Haynes King, the Texas A&M transfer, had some flashes last year, but he's a guy that can make some plays downfield. So wouldn't surprise me at all if we end up getting a pretty good game there in Dublin. And I know a lot of people can't wait. It is the first one. There's going to be the excitement around it. But I think this is a pretty solid ACC matchup, and we'll certainly see whether Florida State can elevate themselves and make sure that they're consistently in that college football playoff conversation, not only initially, but throughout the season.
Oh, Brian, we got some news today. I don't want to call it hilarious, but we got Kirk Ferentz. He's getting suspended for one game for recruiting Cade McNamara too early. You flip the page and go up to Miami of Ohio. You got Chuck Martin complaining about Nicholson being stolen by Alabama. Do you think there should be harsher punishments? Like, should Ferentz be punished more than just one game, or is this much to do about nothing?
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that, you know, Kirk Ferentz's punishment, that was self-imposed by the school. So that's totally on them. It's, you know, they are going through an NCAA case in terms of, you know, potential tampering violations. And they said they were not going to comment beyond some of his comments today at the press conference. But, you know, if you talk with coaches, you know, they would say, yes, we want them punished. We definitely want, you know, tougher penalties. And we wish the NCAA would investigate them more. And then you would also kind of, if you kept that conversation going, you'd say, yeah, we probably end up doing it too. You know, whether it's somebody, you know, at talking to a high school coach, hey, you got anybody that might be thinking about transferring, that sort of thing. That happens all the time. And so there is kind of those two sides of the coin. Coaches are getting mad, especially at kind of the lower levels and the non-elite programs. But at the end of the day, this is college football. You're going to have to re-recruit your roster essentially kind of every week and certainly every season. So that's just part of the job now. And that's why a lot of these coaches are getting paid the big bucks, and Kirk Ferentz is certainly one of them that is cashing that expensive check for a lot of these reasons.
Yeah, I could hear Mike Gundy complaining again after you just said that, but I guess just par for the course is why they get paid.
Absolutely, yeah, and you know, I think it is going to be interesting to see, you know, especially amongst that old guard in college football, the Kirk Ferentz's, the Mike Gundy's, the Kyle Whittingham's of the world, see how they kind of navigate these next couple of years, because the changes are not stopping anytime soon, that's for sure.
Yeah, they'll cash the checks and then they'll leave like Saban did. Hey, Brian, thank you so much for the insight and the time. Where can people follow you? You're writing all of your work.
At Brian D. Fisher on Twitter is the best spot. And, looking forward to another exciting college football season.
No doubt about it. Thank you so much for the time. We'll catch you down the line.
All right, good to be on with you.
All the time. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I need to let you know that this portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai's bold family of EVs that bring a new kind of energy to your journey. The IONIQ 5 and 5N, IONIQ 6, and Kona Electric, the most electric EV lineup. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, speaking of electric, the Philadelphia Eagles are trying to become even more electric. They made a trade with an unusual bedfellow. I'll tell you who it is and what happened on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Brian Fisher, college football writer for Fox Sports, for coming through to join us. He shared some interesting thoughts, which is good, which is what we want. I'm looking forward to college football getting launched this weekend. Florida State, those Seminoles, and the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech. I can't wait. I'm going to be tuning in. Make sure you listen. Or make sure, not listen. Make sure you watch, damn it, okay? At 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. for everybody on the West Coast. Anyway, if you want to holler at me, it's simple. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. Hickey, it's kind of crazy. Everybody we ask about Travis Hunter, they have varying opinions. You know, when it... Emery said that he should be a corner, naturally. You said that he should be a corner. I looked at him and I said, man, he should be a wideout because of the money. Brian just came through and said the same thing. He's going to end up doing both. Not at the same level, but it's going to be interesting to see what his primary position is. I guess you have long... Well... I was going to say you'll have longevity at corner because then you could switch over to safety and then you're a wide receiver, you're cooked. I don't know, man. It's tough. Tough decision.
Very tough. And I'm really interested to see who makes the decision. Like, I guess he can, right? But let's just say this year plays out. And let's just, for argument's sake, say he's a better corner than he is receiver. Still a good receiver, but better defensive back. Well, if your team, I don't know, like the Patriots, let's say, top of the draft, they have a quarterback, and you want Travis Hunter, but you want him as a defensive back because he is a better DB than receiver, but he goes, I'm only playing receiver. That to me is really interesting how that process works.
I think to keep the options open and to keep the money open, because the money, his rookie contract is slotted, so there's no changing any of that. But I think he may just drag this out and keep it as open-ended as possible for as long as possible. So we're going to go through an entire draft process with him. It will be interesting to see whether or not he says, I'm not running, I'm not jumping, you see what I can do. And that wouldn't shock me either. But when it comes down to, hey, what position are you going to play? Man, I think he will take the position of, I'm just a football player. And I think that's where it lies. I think in whatever team drafts him, I'm thinking out loud here. I guess he has to maintain the thought of, I want to play offense and defense. Whoever selects me, I want to do both. Is he good enough to do that? I guess he is, right? But a team is going to be taking him at their own peril, I guess. I don't know. Look, Shohei Ohtani came to America, and it was very clear from day one. I want to pitch, and I want to hit. And the Angels said, okay. And he was so damn good at it, nobody cares. And now he's with the Dodgers. So can a guy do that in football? I'm not so sure. I don't know.
I don't know. It's a lot on the body. It's obviously, I mean, a higher level at both to make that adjustment. And I don't know if a team wants him out, you know, like talking about, you know, trying to get that second contract. I don't know if that's in Hunter's best interest to be playing, you know, that much early on when he's not getting the big bucks that he would get with the second contract.
Yeah, but I don't think it's so much of actually doing it. I think it's just saying it to keep the options open. I mean, if you run and say, hey, I'm just a wide receiver or I'm just a cornerback, obviously you can make more money, you know, just out of the gate because you play two positions. So that's there's no doubt about it. There's no disputing that part about it. A team may look at him and say, oh, he's, you know, we can draft him and we could tell him, hey, man, we want you to play corner. Or a team can draft him and say, we want you to play wide receiver. So I would think that's to his advantage to keep things open-ended. That would improve his draft status. But I think once you get into the building, yeah, you're going to have to weigh it more heavily one more than the other. Maybe you get an occasional, you know, snap here or there. I don't know, but I think it's best to keep it open-ended. Not to actually do it, but for negotiating purposes and to keep your options open and wide, I would do that, man. I would do that.
Especially in the draft, like you said, with being slotted, I mean, obviously the more money you get for or comes, the higher you're drafted. And maybe keeping that optionality open allows you to go at 2 instead of maybe 5. Small
right.
difference, but it's still a difference in money.
Yeah, I can't remember a player like this in the NFL ever. I mean, we've had plenty of guys that have switched and changed positions and they tell you need to do this. I mean, come on. When Lamar Jackson was first selected, he had to tell people ad nauseum. He's like, no, I'm not switching. I'm going to be a quarterback. I mean, it's even after the success that he's had. It's just like, oh, well, he should be a running back. He's like, no, I'm a quarterback. And now you got his own head coach and John Harbaugh about a month ago was telling everybody, oh, we're building him up to be, you know, the greatest quarterback of all time. It's like, whoa, okay. And it might be a crazy thing to say. Why would you say it? But when you look at the results of what he's had on the field, he certainly has been one of the best quarterbacks. And it sounds crazy to say of all time, but when you're walking around with two MVPs, he's had one hell of a career. He's had a better career than I don't want to say the numbers or the odds. Hickey, am I wrong to say Lamar Jackson's had a better quarterback career than 95% of quarterbacks who have ever played the game?
Yeah, because I don't think 95% of quarterbacks that have played the game have two MVPs on their mantle.
That is crazy. That's nuts. I remember vividly, and we haven't got there yet. I think the closest we got was Jalen Hurts. Do you remember when there were like real hardcore conversations on radio and online and TV just about whether or not a quarterback who runs, a running quarterback, a dual threat? Hickey, I used to have people call me here and tell me there will never be a dual threat quarterback. You can't run. It will only you got to pass like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning and this. We're going to have almost everybody coming into the league right now is a dual threat. Almost everybody is mobile, some more than others. But that seems like so far, far ago. It's just, it's inevitable. We're going to have a Lamar Jackson, a Jalen Hurts. I mean, come on, Josh Allen. In most rankings, Tom Brady, I think on his own list, just said Josh Allen is the second best quarterback in the entire NFL. Well, damn it, I look at Josh Allen and I say a lot of times, man, why are you running so much? So it's crazy how the league has changed. And I don't hear that anymore, man. I really don't.
It's absolutely, now it's like more of an athletic position. And now throwing on the run, keeping the ball yourself, that's an asset. Like the game has changed. And you're right, like it's been a total 180, even within the last like 10 years or so, how the model is skewed. And now most quarterbacks you see coming out of college to have some sort of mobility factor to them. And if not, in some cases, it's a negative.
Yeah, let's listen to some of these quarterbacks. Josh Allen runs. Jalen Hurts runs. Patrick Mahomes scrambles. If he wanted to, he can get out there. Lamar Jackson, we know what the answer is there. Anthony Richardson runs. C.J. Stroud, not so much. Kyler Murray, yes. Joe Burrow, not so much. Dak, not so much. Jordan Love, not so much. He could scramble. Jaden Daniels is going to run around. Brock Purdy isn't running anywhere. Why would you? Caleb Williams would be interesting to see how much he runs around. I think he'll have big scrambles there, but he won't be running. Tua is not trying to run anywhere. Jared Goff is not running. Trevor Lawrence, big scramble here or there, but not running. What would you say? 3 out of 4? I didn't do a tally. 3 out of 4 quarterbacks, 3 out of 4 of the starters are going to run around, huh? You think? Maybe a little less?
In that more range. But also to your point, like some of the guys you said no, like Joe Burrow, for example, I mean, he makes a lot of plays out to the pocket. You know, he can roll out and throw. Like you look at Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees even, they were not, if they were flushed, like you won if you're the defense. A lot of these guys, even that don't run, quote unquote, Dak, Burrow, etc., they still make plays out to the pocket on the run.
Yeah, but would you consider them to be rushing, running, dual threat QBs?
No, but athletic enough to make a play if the pocket breaks down, which was definitely not the case for most quarterbacks 15 years ago.
You know what? Let's talk about this on the other side of the break. Let's take a break. Who the hell is the least athletic starting quarterback? Because as Hickey said, I mean, even some of the older guys who just retired recently, like they were moving and slinging and running around. I'm trying to think who is the most statuesque QB in the game. We're going to talk about some trades that have taken place today. We'll get into more quarterbacks and more college. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.